Nothing better than a Monday on Sports Talk Radio after a full weekend of football and, of course, the baseball playoffs and the Kings. Man, I am pumped up. I love this time of year. Mr. Christie, how are you, sir?
Yeah, man, doing great. Grant, how are you, my friend?
You're a beauty. I am doing very well. You're like a celebrity, man. My Twitter's been blowing up about, you know, what a phenomenal husband you are. And you know, whoa. I was going, wait a minute, what is going on here? I could not quite follow it. So would you like to educate me before we start talking about the weekend and day's events? What was the big event for you? I know it was your 20th anniversary, but this seemed like a little bit more than just a 20th anniversary.
Well, on my wife's show, Basketball Wives LA, it was our 20th anniversary, and we went to Portugal, and my kids and I, we surprised her. She didn't know we were coming, and we did it at a castle. It was just really, it was big, and nothing better than a castle for a queen.
Wow.
So it was something big, and people are loving it. But I'm still the same guy, Grant. Just love my wife and family.
Well, that's good. And you know what? There's certainly nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with that. Good for you. Amen. All right, let's start with the Raiders. Again, it's the same issue every week. I know they're 4-2, and I get that. This defense is not good, and that to me is not something that's just going to get fixed. We've been waiting for it to get better and better, and it's really not getting any better. That's got to be a big concern to Jack Del Rio and the Raiders.
Man, I will tell you. I mean, you remember Therese, our insider for Kansas City.
Yes.
He told us to remember two words. Do you remember what they were, Grant? Spencer Ware.
Oh, you
That's
know what?
That's what he said.
He did say Spencer Ware. You're right.
He did. And, oh, boy, Spencer Ware, it looked like he had on skates and he was going downhill, man. The defense is just atrocious. They're going to have to do something to shore that side of the ball up, Grant.
Yeah, but how do you do it? You know, your personnel is your personnel. You're not getting new personnel in the middle of the year. So here we are with 6 weeks into the season, two games from the halfway point, and we keep on waiting and waiting and waiting, and it hasn't happened. So I don't know how you shore up your defense in the middle of the season. Like, is it schemes? Is it personnel? Maybe their personnel's not as good as they thought at the beginning of the year. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Jack Del Rio already gave us the answer. Your best defense is your offense right now. And that's why he went for two, and he's done different things and been aggressive because he's trying to keep his defense off the field, Grant, because he understands that they just aren't that good.
Well, and that's a reason why the Raiders won't win, though, because you can win in the NFL if you have a really good defense and a so-so offense. You can't win in the NFL if you have a really good offense and a so-so defense. It doesn't work that way. So I understand what Jack Del Rio is saying, and the admission that he makes is right on, but that's not a real comforting admission from a head coach when you look at the future of the year. Okay, maybe they make the playoffs. Okay, maybe they do. But the reality is you're not winning in the playoffs with a defense that's this bad. You're just not.
Yeah, but I think that they need to make that step.
Yes.
Can't just throw the baby out with the bathwater. You can't panic right now. It's one game. It wasn't a good one. But, Grant, this is their next step. Their next progression needs to be the playoffs. I can remember my first year here, we made the playoffs, and we got swept by the Lakers. And that's the progression that you have to go through. And ultimately, that side of the ball is going to be needing to address in the offseason.
You're 100% correct. Grant Napier and Doug Christie, we got so many things to talk about. The 49ers get blown out on the road. Was Colin Kaepernick better than Blaine Gabbert? Yeah, he was better. But as I told you, Doug, all week, the problem with the 49ers goes way beyond the quarterback. They're just not going to win. They're not good enough to win. And I think it was on full display yesterday in Buffalo.
Yes, I agree with you. And they opened up a severe can on them, man. I will tell you, Tyrod Taylor moving around to two TDs, just showing his legs, and LeSean McCoy, man, what a stud.
Yep.
I think that you actually hit it on the head. I think you said it was 140, and I said 150. But he ended up with 140 yards, three TDs. You thought that he was hurt. He came back. You know, they're just going to – the 49ers have a lot of things that they're going to – that's almost a – you know, we got to man up and make something happen. Navarro Bowman is not walking through the door. You got to get that out of your head. They're going to have to go find some linebackers, some pass rushers, something.
All right, folks, it is 3:07, time to help fund scholarships for U.S. veterans. Donate to the Help a Hero program at a Sport Clips near you. I want to get to your favorite team. And, again, there were so many bad calls in the NFL yesterday. There was one on the Giants towards the end of the game on Dominic Rogers-Cromartie. They called him for pass interference. And it obviously, I'm not exaggerating. It was the worst call that I've seen this year, not because I'm a Giants fan, but because it was. And then, obviously, the missed call on Richard Sherman. I mean, come on. Every single person in the stadium, every single person watching on TV, every single person saw that was pass interference, and there's no flag. It's just unbelievable to me.
Tell them how you really feel, Grant. You know what? Listen, we play physical defense in Seattle, and then you know what it's like in the NBA. When you're playing physical defense, guess what? They can't call every single call. And if you are going to make a foul there, Grant, go ahead and make the foul. Put the onus on the ref to make a call. He didn't call the call. Quit crying, man.
Hey, you know what? I'll tell you what it is. It's the integrity of the NFL, and in reality is that cost the Atlanta Falcons a game in all likelihood, and it was a blatant missed call. I don't mind missed holding calls, things of that nature, but that's in the open field, okay? That is for everyone to see, and it was just an egregious mistake by the official, and this is the National Football League, and we see it every damn week. It's frustrating. Hey, listen, I got no dog in the fight here. I'm not a fan of either team, but that's just horrible. That's awful.
Grant, you said the key word likelihood in all likelihood. But you know what? What goes around comes around. I can remember in the Super Bowl, and we were playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, and there was just a terrible offensive pass interference call that cost us the Super Bowl. Sometimes the refs get it wrong, and that's part of the deal. It was a good game. We ended up coming back, winning the game. Let's go to next week.
Hey, listen, the Seattle's playing very well after their horrendous start where they barely beat Miami and then lost to the Rams. They're getting their act going. I'm not saying they're not a good team. You know, and again, I don't know if you saw the call on the Giants against Baltimore, which set up the go-ahead touchdown before Odell Beckham went the distance on a slant. I'll get to him in a minute. But, you know, again, these are calls that are affecting the outcome of games, and that's the issue I have. There were a lot of other games that were played, some very interesting contests, and I know that everyone's talking about Odell Beckham. I'm getting tired of the guy's act. I really am. I mean, he scores the what turned out to be the winning touchdown, takes his helmet off in the end zone. It's like, me, me, me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at my blonde hair. Look at me. 15-yard penalty, which could have cost the Giants a game. And I don't get it. Every single player that plays in the NFL knows that you can't take your helmet off on the field of play. That's number one. And this nonsense with the kicking, that it's immature. It's childish. Stop it already. Grow up and act like a freaking professional.
Hey, Granny, he gave the net a ring yesterday, okay? They're getting married, for God's sake.
I mean, how embarrassing is that?
Hey, but if you listen to the sound, all of the press in New York laughed, and then they're going to go rip him afterwards. So they're just adding fuel to the fire. But I will tell you this. Those are the type of things that are going to kill the Giants in the long run.
Exactly.
You can't just go crazy like
nope.
that. And you can see that emotionally he's very hyped on a certain – too high, too low. Same with Cam Newton. Too high, too low. You got to keep it in the middle ground. Be excited. Celebrate, but don't go overboard.
My upset of the week was Dallas beating Green Bay. I'm not impressed with Green Bay. I don't think they're that good. Dallas goes in there and wins 30-16, and there are two questions today, and you and I talked about this a lot last week. Is there any way in the world Tony Romo is going to be on the field at all this year for Dallas, and what's wrong with Aaron Rodgers? He did not look good. He had all time to throw the football. I'm wondering if there's something physically wrong with Aaron Rodgers, because that does not look like the same quarterback to me.
I agree. He's missing some throws. And Brett Favre kind of said it. He said, some years things aren't going right for you. But even Grant, if he has all the time in the world, he can read a magazine, get a pedicure, sit back there, have a good time. If those receivers can't get open, he doesn't have anybody to throw it to. Jordy Nelson's not getting open. Guys aren't getting open. So he's back there. He's got a rocket of an arm, but no one's open.
And we say that, and he was 31 for 42 for 294 yards and a touchdown. But but it's just not the Aaron Rodgers we're accustomed to seeing. And then, of course, you got Dallas now at 5-1. And with each win, Doug, it, to me, becomes more and more difficult for the Cowboys to take Dak Prescott out of the lineup. Even if Tony Romo was better than him, that's not even the issue right now. The issue is that you've got the mojo going, you got the chemistry going. I don't see how a team could mess with that right now.
Yeah, but we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys, man. They've been known to do some things, and I agree with you. The kid is playing fantastic football. Everyone's rolling. I have a question for you, Grant. Is his success and in Ezekiel's success the sole product of that offensive line?
Well, mostly of the offensive line. I don't think it's arguably the best offensive line of football, so there's no question. Number one, they're tremendous in pass blocking, so that obviously is going to make any quarterback comfortable. And you see the holes that they're opening up? They're dominating the line of scrimmage. There's only one game they didn't dominate, and that was the first game where, you know, and again, I think that was just because of the newness of everything. But since then, Elliott has run the ball very well. The offensive line is doing a phenomenal job, which is a little surprising to me because they were down two starters for a couple weeks on the offensive line, and it didn't hurt them in terms of the running game. But, yes, I think the offensive line has a lot to do with it. I really do.
Yeah, they are absolute studs. I agree. Some of those holes, I mean, you can absolutely walk through, and Ezekiel Elliott is doing some big things. I don't mean that the soul, maybe that was the wrong word to use, but if you probably timed a quarterback's time in the pocket, 1001, 1002, he probably has an extra click or two, and that's really helpful.
All right, so if you want to talk about these things, 339-1140, 800-920-1140, the National League Championship Series is a best of five. Boy, you got it. Clayton Kershaw was great last night. They got the help in the bullpen, and they win that tight 1-0 game. And now, Doug, you know, and I'm not a big believer in home field in baseball. It's about who your starting pitcher is. But this is going to be fun now. It's turned into a best of five.
Oh, boy, Grant, I'm telling you, man. I mean, I think Clayton kind of got his mojo, man.
No
because
doubt.
He was serious. And Roberts went out to the mound to talk to him, and he said, look, I can get Baez out. And he absolutely did it. I mean, he cracked it. It was close. But the point is, he's pitching. There's movement on his ball. He had his velocity. Clayton is looking good. And if you got that one stud, he's probably good for two wins, or, you know, at least if the bats are treating the Dodgers well. So good stuff by Kershaw, man.
Doug, I just came from King's practice to find out what the official word was on Ty Lawson. He did practice with the team today. Dave Yeager, the coach of the Kings, did answer questions about Ty Lawson, as did Vlade Divac, although I had already left because I had to get back here to do the show before Vlade spoke. So I can't say for exactly with all certainty what Vlade said other than what I've heard. But Dave Yeager was asked about it, and he said that he had a personal issue and that he was satisfied with where things stood. Now, I will just say this, okay, Doug? It looks bad. It's a bad optic, okay? And I don't know if you saw the video that was released on TMZ that shows him in Las Vegas.
No.
There was a video that was released at TMZ showing him at a nightclub in Las Vegas with Ben McLemore and Willie Cauley-Stein. Now, in all fairness to Ty Lawson, and I'm only telling you this because I didn't see any alcohol in Ty Lawson's possession. Clearly, Willie Cauley-Stein in the video had a drink in his hand. Now, what was in the drink, I don't know. But what we do know about Ty Lawson is that, you know, he has an apparent drinking issue. I mean, I don't see how anyone could come to any other summation than that. He's had four DUIs, and that's not a problem with driving. That's a problem with alcohol. Now, I don't know where his alcohol issues are. I don't know Ty Lawson. I've never hung out with Ty Lawson. I am not with Ty Lawson when he leaves the arena or the practice facility. So that's not for me to say. What I am saying is, okay, this video that I just watched on TMZ, it is a bad optic. It is not a good visual, okay? If you have a non-guaranteed contract and you have these issues that have affected you in the past, it's probably not the best idea to be out at a nightclub. Now, with that said, he was not shown, or at least in the video that I watched, with, you know, a drink in his hand. So I can't say just because he was at a nightclub he was drinking, because I would have no way of knowing that. All I'm saying is it's a bad visual. All right, that's it. Now, you know, I don't know where this goes from here, Doug. The reality is he's on the Kings. He practiced today. Both Dave Yeager and Vlade Divac said that, particularly Vlade, based on what I'm reading on social media, that he talked with Ty and he was satisfied with what Ty had to say.
You know, Grant, I would like to see this nipped in the bud, because what we're trying to create here is a really professional environment. I think that we're off on a good foot with Vivek and the things that are going on. Vlade, the new beautiful Golden One Center, and just the synergy of Coach Yeager and what he's doing. And I agree with you. The optic here is not a good thing. And this is something that we're trying to create, a professional environment like you see in San Antonio, New England Patriots, the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's what you want. And these are the type of things that you got to to cut it. If this it was a problem and they're giving him a pass, he gets one, okay, I get it, because you're going to say, okay, I give you one. The next one, you got to be out of here, man. And right now, you got to cut it.
Yeah, and again, the video, and I'm sure that if you have not seen it, you will see it because it's all over social media, you know, on TMZ. And again, it is just, it's a bad look. I mean, plain and simple. Now, again, I'm not putting myself in Ty Lawson's shoes or anyone else. I'm only putting myself in my shoes because those are the shoes I have to. But if I'm playing for my NBA life, okay, and I'm 28, 29 years old, meaning that I'm not a kid anymore, I'm an adult, meaning that I can't say, well, I'm young and I'm immature because I'm almost 30, okay, and I'm playing for my, I'm just telling you me. Okay, I'm just telling you me. I am not going to be at a nightclub in Las Vegas posting videos on social media. All right, I'm not doing that. Now, I'm not speaking for anybody else. I'm just telling you, not happening.
Well, this is the thing, Grant. I really think that Ty has looked good in the preseason. I love what
agree.
I see. I think he's an absolute gem for us and where we're at right now with the Kings. The problem is, you have to take this to the umpteenth, and you can't do anything. You have to be so professional. You have to go overboard to make sure that you are handling your business, that no one can have anything to say, because they're going to be looking for things, just like you're saying in Vegas, and then you're late for a meeting and you're missing a plane, and those are things that you just don't want. Now, if there's an excuse and it is a really good one, okay, I get it. But that's where, in my opinion, the Kings need to release something, or someone needs to release something to squash it. Let's get rid of it. And he just needs to walk the straight and narrow. This is, like you said, 28 years old. This is your chance to absolutely grab your career by the throat. Please do that.
Now, I will say this, okay? I've known Vlade Divac for a long time. You played with Vlade Divac, and you know Vlade probably as well as I do, if not better, okay? Vlade came out today, and he said that after meeting with Ty, he felt good about him on the team going forward. That says a lot to me, because Vlade would have had a long talk, and if Vlade feels good about moving forward, that's enough for me. Vlade, and again, I've known Vlade since 1998. I'm not saying that, you know, I live with the guy, but he's a very good judge of character. Has Vlade made mistakes before in judging someone? I'm sure he has. Could he make a mistake on backing up Ty Lawson? Maybe he could. I don't have a crystal ball, but that says a lot to me. If Vlade is willing to go out and make that statement, that tells me a lot.
I totally agree with you. And to have Vlade's backing, I think Ty should just absolutely take advantage of this and move forward in a really positive direction, because you are right. If Vlade is going to say that, whatever Ty said to him was enough for him to sign off on it. And yes, I agree. Good judge of character, a fantastic guy, a very kind man at the same time, but he understands his job and he is not afraid to put down the hammer. So we're going to have to monitor going forward. And I'm praying that Ty just handles this, man, because he could be a great addition. It'd be awesome to watch his career flourish from here on forward.
And I always use the very basic element of common sense, and actions speak louder than words. You know, don't tell me, show me. You know, it's showing me. So, and Dave Yeager's the head coach. Listen, you know, Dave's got to be comfortable with all of this, too. And if he wasn't comfortable, you know, Dave's got the authority and the power to say, I don't want him on the team. That did not happen. You know, Dave backed him up, said he had a personal reason. Dave said he was satisfied with it. And now they're moving on. So this is an important issue, Doug. I mean, the season starts a week from Wednesday. This is a big deal in Sacramento.
It absolutely is, because, you know, we got Darren Collison, who's out for 8 games, and we bring in Ty Lawson, and we're hoping that he's going to be able to fill that void and then absolutely multiply it once Darren comes back and solidify the point guard spot. And now if this happens, and for some reason, if we had to get rid of Ty, it really puts us in a bad position. So that really kind of poses the question, is this – I don't think so, because knowing Vlade, it's not. But are you only doing that because you need him?
All right. Well, if you want to talk about that, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Also, over the weekend, Vivek Ranadive, and Doug, you and I talked about this last week with the you had Sam Amick on the show on Monday when I was at the NBA referees meeting, and you talked about his question and answer, and I'm talking to Sam Amick, that you interviewed Sam about the question and answer he had with Vivek Ranadive, and then a couple of days later, former Kings general manager Jeff Petrie came out and basically ripped Vivek and some of the things that he said. Well, Aileen Voisin of the Sacramento Bee over the weekend in yesterday's Sacramento Bee, had a interview with Vivek Ranadive, and he said, quote, "I wanted to sincerely apologize to Jeff Petrie and his team. He said, I meant no disrespect. I have the utmost respect for what they have done for the franchise and what they have accomplished. I fully understand that it's a huge privilege to own a basketball team. And as chairman of the ownership, the buck stops with me. I accept responsibility for everything. All the mistakes are my mistakes." I give him a lot of credit. I mean, you know what? Good for him for saying that, nipping it in the bud. Don't let this be a distraction heading into the season.
You know what? A freaking plus, Grant Napier, because I love what he said. You're right. Nip it in the bud. This lends to the whole narrative of a professional organization. Are there mistakes? Heck yeah, there are mistakes. Own them, move past, create an environment that is good for winning and good for building a proper product in Sacramento. A plus.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the Kings. I know that the games were not televised in Las Vegas and or Saturday night in Lexington. I'll give you a couple of my observations. Okay, Dave Yeager has said he'd like to play 10 players when the season begins a week from Wednesday, with 8 of the players getting the bulk of the minutes. Okay, the guys that I think are going to have a tough time getting on the court, and again, I'm not coaching the team. I'm going based on my observation of watching. Okay, I've been very disappointed in Ben McLemore. He got extended minutes Saturday night in Lexington, and I hate to say this, but it's the same old Ben. You know, he just does not seem to have a good feel for the game. I know he's a hard worker. I know he's athletic as heck. I don't see it. All right, and I'm not trying to be negative here. I'm just trying to give you my honest assessment. I think he's going to have a very difficult time getting on the floor ahead of the players ahead of him, namely Aaron Aflalo and Garrett Temple. That's number one. Secondly, Willie Cauley-Stein had his best game of the preseason in Lexington. Doug, I don't know if it's just because he feels at home being on that court where he played for 3 years, but it was the best that I've seen him play. He's another guy, Doug, that's fighting for minutes to get into that rotation.
You know, when you talk about, I'll take them in order. When you talk about Ben, this might be good for Ben, because not until I sat on the end of the bench at the New York Knicks did I really understand that, man, you got to really take this as a profession. You have to take it serious. I was taking it serious, but there's other levels, and you really got to lock it down if this is really what you want to do. Commit everything that you have, all your time to it, and really be serious. And so this might end up, if Ben isn't on the floor, it might end up being good to give him that drive to get out there. Then Willie Cauley-Stein, I think that Willie's an energy player, so they have to find minutes, and then he just has to stay aggressive and stay confident. Defense is going to be his calling card to get on the floor, and hopefully he'll be able to do that.
DeMarcus looks great. Best I've seen him in every single facet of playing basketball. On the court, leadership, everything. Best I've seen him. Huge improvement. I hope it continues. But just based on what I'm seeing, sitting really close to the bench when I'm doing these games with Gary Gerald, I've seen a completely different guy. And I'm hoping that continues, because that's the best way for the Kings to become a playoff team, is for him to be that guy all year long.
Yeah, man, I have to speak in Jamaican. Happy, happy, happy Grant Napier. That's what I'm talking about. The whole thing from him coming from USA Basketball has Doug very, very excited, man.
You weren't at that nightclub, were you?
Not a chance, man. I was with me family.
That's not a Portuguese accent, is it?
No, that would be strictly Jamaican.
All right. Okay. I think on that note, we'll take the break and come right back on Sports 1140 KHDK. Back with you here, Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie. We take phone calls at 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Raiders and 49ers lose. Kings will play tomorrow at home. Preseason game, 7 o'clock tip against the L.A. Clippers, and then they get going for real a week from Wednesday in Phoenix. Hard to believe we're 1 week away from the start of the NBA season, Doug. I can't wait.
Oh, my goodness, man. I've been jonesing, and I'm ready to rock and roll. This is going to be one exciting season. A lot of movement and different things. New Golden One Center, new coach. I'm ready.
I want to get back to a couple of things, because we're getting some text messages. I want to talk about the Raiders. You listen, personnel is personnel. You can change things around a little bit, but the reality is, you know, you don't get new players in the middle of the season. If anything, you lose players because of injuries. And I'm not so sure we're going to be ever talking about, gee, the Raiders' defense is now really good. That may happen next year. I don't see it happening this year. Now, when I look at the Raiders, Doug, okay, and I'm looking at what they have coming up, they're 4-2, and that's fine and dandy, all right? I mean, there's everyone should be thrilled that they're 4-2. They play at Jacksonville and at Tampa in their next 2 weeks. Okay, these are games, Doug, and you should beat the teams you're supposed to beat. You should beat both these teams. I mean, you really should. And then you come home, and before your bye week, you have a home game against Denver. But at Jacksonville, at Tampa, these are games you should win.
Yes, Jacksonville is one that it's a little bit scary. That's a team that, you know, they're up and down. They could do something. You know, I definitely think that you should beat Tampa, but Jameis Winston, you never know. He's one of those guys that could go out and just have a ball game. But I agree with you. On the road, you've shown that you can win games. You play better on the road than you do at home. These are games you should win. And I was hoping, or not hoping, but I was thinking that they were going to win yesterday and really set a tone in the AFC, but they just couldn't get her done.
And you know, when you look at these teams, you know, Jacksonville in particular, they're not a good offensive team. And for that reason, you know, I think that matches up better. Now, Kansas City came in not as a prolific offensive team, but boy, did they run the ball. They killed the clock. They dominated the game. And it's just, you know, you think, Doug, you know, the beginning of the game, the Raiders get the kickoff, boom, they go down the field. It's 7-0. They got all the momentum. And then that was it for them. The rest of the game was dominated by the Kansas City Chiefs, and it kind of leaves you scratching your head a little bit.
Well, when I look at Oakland, I thought Derek Carr was targeting Amari Cooper a little bit too much, because if you look at Richard Crabtree, two receptions for 10 yards, that's just not enough. You're going to have to get him involved. Jalen Richard, our guy, he didn't have, you know, kickoff returns.
Right.
He 27 yards, longest for 50. You know, just that thing on offense wasn't there. And if they're not offensively clicking, Grant, it's just not happening, because the defense hasn't found a way to stop people.
And then the other news, boy, Ben Roethlisberger with surgery, and the Steelers confident that this is not long term, but he's going to be out a couple of weeks. And boy, how about that surprise with Miami going at home, Miami at home beating the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, what it says is that Ben Roethlisberger makes your team very, very special and pedestrian if he's not in there. And that, you know, is saying a lot, because they have some studs, Antonio, and they got some studs over there. But, you know, I've had that cartilage thing, and what he's doing, it sounds like, is he's trimming it. And as long as it doesn't, you know, flare back up and get roughed again, he should be okay. I wouldn't rush him back. He's going to be a little bit less mobile, but he's a stud, man. He'll be okay.
All right, and then, of course, the news that Doug and I talked about a lot last week has to do coming out of Las Vegas. Well, the governor of Nevada today signed a bill clearing the way for the Las Vegas stadium. And what's interesting, the governor, okay, and Mark Davis had some pretty interesting things to say. The governor, Brian Sandoval, said, quote, "Las Vegas is ready for this. Nevada is ready for this. The best brand on the planet is coming together with one of the best brands in professional sports. It is truly one of those situations where 1 + 13, the owner, Mark Davis, basically is talking as if Las Vegas is now the home for the Oakland Raiders. Now, they have to get it approved by the NFL owners, but they need 24 votes. Mark Davis, though, speaking as if the Raiders are already in Las Vegas. Now, they will play, Doug, in the Coliseum for 2 more years. While the stadium is being built. But I mean, come on now, Mark Davis is speaking as if he's speaking as if the team's already a member. You know, Las Vegas. It's unbelievable to me.
Man, that's going to be a little awkward when you know that you're leaving and you're building something someplace else, and people. It's just, you know, as I looked at this, you're looking at San Francisco Bay Area, sixth largest in television market, fourth in radio, and then you go to Las Vegas, 40th in TV and 31st in. So I understand what the governor's doing. He's saying all the right things, but the proof is going to be in the pudding. Can they get people in those seats? Now, I understand the team is probably going to go there to fantastic stadium. It's going to be great, but we're talking about true fans. This is going to be interesting how it plays out, Grant.
No question. I think it's going to be a destination for a lot of fans of visiting teams. I think you're going to see, you know, your Raider fans that will support, and then I think, you know, you'll probably have 15,000 fans or so each and every Sunday that are there to root for the other team that will make Vegas a weekend getaway. And I can definitely see that happening. So if you want to talk about that, 339-1140. 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Tomorrow we'll be broadcasting from the Golden 1 Center as we get ready for the Kings and the L.A. Clippers. We'll be with you at 3 o'clock right up until 5:30. And then tomorrow at 5:30, I want to talk about this because we got some good things going on here with the Kings and their preseason game, Doug, and everything else. But I want to pass this along because you can join Carmichael Dave at Malt and Mash tomorrow, 715 K Street in downtown. Now, if you come between 5 and 7 to turn in your list of 15 former Sacramento Kings players at 7 p.m. sharp, they will start to randomly draw entries. The first two entries to have correctly listed all 15 Kings players will win a pair of Kings Row tickets to opening night. You have to be present to win. You can go to khdk.com for more information, but that's tomorrow night. Again, Malt and Mash, 715 K Street in downtown between 5 and 7. All right, let's get to some phone calls. Why don't we start with Antonio? Hello, Antonio.
Hey, what's up, guys? DC and Grant, man, you guys sound really good, man. Good
Thank
combination.
You.
You guys are rolling already.
Thank
hey, you. Know,
Thank you.
I've been a Red fan my whole life. I really don't even remember Mark Davis being anywhere when Al, who was one of the pioneers of the NFL. People can say what they want about Al Davis, but he built that team. If the Raiders go to Las Vegas, yes, I still will be a Raider fan. But Mark Davis had plenty of time. The city of Oakland dropped the ball. But Mark Davis has had plenty of time to get things together now without even Oakland. And now, it's like you're right. Like you say, Grant, to me, it's like if it's done. I don't see any way possible that they stay in Oakland, which is sad. You know, they tore down the Bronx, the Yankee Stadium. They should never tear down the stadium. Those stadiums should last like the Roman Empire, the Colosseum in Rome. All the great players that played those games, the greatest games. It's a shame for Oakland. It's not done yet. It's the fourth quarter. They're at the one-yard line. They're ready to punch it in, and it's a sad day for
Well, I got to tell you what would be bad for Vegas. If San Diego stays in San Diego, I could see Mark Davis. He would prefer to be in Los Angeles than Vegas. There's no doubt about that. He's already got a built-in market down there. It's the number two market in the country. I mean, there's no doubt, in my opinion, that Mark Davis would rather be in Los Angeles than Las Vegas. If the Chargers stay in San Diego, which is very much up in the air, and do not take up the NFL's offer and everything else that goes with it to join Stan Kroenke in Inglewood with the Rams, I could see the Raiders still going to Los Angeles.
Yeah, you know, and I've heard you say that, and I almost wouldn't be so opposed. At least even in the States, and like you said before about them sharing stadium, Raider fans that are unrealistic, that would have been a great move for them to have that stadium filled 17 times per year or 16 times per year.
Yep.
Both games, teams, it's a total. It looks like the Raiders' defense. Terrible. It's a terrible look. It's terrible. But hey, thanks, guys.
All right. Hey, thank you. Let's get to Robbie. You're on with Grant Napier and Doug Christie. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, Grant. Hey, Doug. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yep.
Grant, congratulations on getting best sportscaster in the Sacramento A-list. That was a great award.
You know what? I don't even know what you're talking about, but I'll just say thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I had a different hypothesis about the whole Raiders thing. I think they're going to stay in Oakland. And I think that Mark Davis is pulling the biggest bluff job in history. I think, you know, we've heard Roger Goodell say this last year when they were thinking about moving to L.A. Roger Goodell and most of the NFL hierarchy don't want to move the Raiders. The Bay Area is too strong of a market. With the Niners doing as bad as they are, the Raiders have the opportunity to take over that core market, especially the new fans that are coming into age right now. So and there's articles talking about Roger Goodell doesn't want the Raiders to leave the Bay Area. It's just too big of a market. I think that the city of Oakland would rather have the A's, and I think they know the A's have more in terms of organizational power than the Raiders do. Mark Davis isn't that savvy in terms of a sports executive. So I think they're trying to push along the A's and give the A's that waterfront stadium. But as soon as the A's get a secure property for the waterfront stadium, the Raiders are going to have that Coliseum land. And I know Mark Davis wants first priority, but you noticed it. When the A's came out and then they said that one of their owners was looking at waterfront property, that same day, Mark Davis decided to trademark Las Vegas Raiders. And he did that because he wants to keep the attention on the Raiders. I think he wants to stay in Oakland. I think the backlash he'll get from the fan base is too large for him. And I think he's really just bluffing. I think the NFL wants them to stay in Oakland. I think the rest of the league ownership wants them to stay in Oakland. I just think, you know, Oakland's kind of just, you know, sitting on their hands at this point. They know that they have a lot of the power in their pocket, you know. So
okay,
I think,
well,
I think
well, listen, I'm up against the break. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening to the show. Doug and I will be right back here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Hey, it's 3:50. Time to help fund scholarships for U.S. veterans. Donate to the Help a Hero program at a Sport Clips near you. I'm Grant Napier along with Doug Christie. We take your phone calls at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. The Raiders and 49ers coming off losses. Certainly a bad loss for the Raiders. We knew the 49ers weren't very good, and I don't think it matters who their quarterback is. They're so bad on defense. I mean, seriously, Doug, their run defense, can you get much worse than what they showed yesterday in Buffalo? I mean, that was pathetic.
Man, I will tell you, that was some bad stuff. I mean, on top of the fact that McCoy was, he was running with anger, but I mean, second string came in and made some runs, and even third string came in and made some runs. That was unfortunately as horrid as you can probably get.
Yeah, and then of course, you know, we're talking about the rest of the action yesterday in the NFL. If you're a Steelers fan, they are going to be without the quarterback for a little bit, and Ben Roethlisberger will be very interesting to see, you know, what that does to that division. I told you when the Raiders played Baltimore, when the Baltimore Ravens were 3-0, I said they're not very good. They're not very good. Offensively, they're terrible. Defensively, they now, you know, Suggs is hurt now, and they've got some issues on defense that, you know, they're good defensively. They're not great on defense, but they can't score, and that is a bad combination. Their offense is really, really ineffective. And I'm looking at teams right now that, you know, how about the Carolina Panthers? We say this every week, Doug. They just keep on losing and losing. They're done. Their season's over. They have no chance. They are absolutely done. They're not going to recover. They're not good enough to recover. Who would have thought that the team that won the NFC and only lost one game, Doug, they lost one game last year. They blew out Arizona in the championship game. And here we are towards the middle of the season, and the Carolina Panthers are 1-5.
Ooh, Grant, stab him.
1-5. They're the same record as the 49ers.
You like to stab people in the heart.
1-5, the same record as the 49ers and the Bears.
It sounds
Come on
worse
now. Well, they're not as bad
like
as the
that,
Browns.
Man.
Hey, they're not, I could say they're Browns, but they're better than the Browns. That's about it.
Well, you know, Cam in the press conference yesterday and all of that, as a leader, you have to set the tone for the team. And if it's going to be that high and low like that, like you're out on the field. Did you see them dancing and stuff? They were dancing before the game. And you can see offensively, they are top 10, top 5 offense. They can get things done. But defensively, I don't know if it was missing the one guy, Gordon, who went to Washington or what it was. But they suck.
Cam Newton's a diva. He's like Odell Beckham. It's all about me, me, me. His actions. You know, the leader of your team, your quarterback. To me, he fails in a lot of areas. His post game press conference at the Super Bowl was a disgrace. The way he handles himself after losses to me is a disgrace. I know if I'm playing on a team, I don't want my quarterback acting like that. I just don't get it. I just don't understand it. I really don't.
Well, I mean, to be so good,
can you imagine
if Cam Newton, and I think I said this to you before, if he acted like Brett Favre someone hit him, and he just, because he's such a big strapping dude, if you hit him and he just smiled at you and patted you on your helmet and said, yeah, I mean, it would just be demoralizing. And if he just took that approach to it, and you know what, sometimes you got to stand up there and you just got to, you got to eat your crow and take it. I mean, all the celebration, I remember Isaiah Thomas used to tell me when I was in Toronto, Doug, never get too high and never get too low. And that's exactly what I see with Cam and those guys. They're so high, Odell Beckham too, but then when it's bad, they are so low. You can't do that,
nope,
man.
I totally agree with you. Absolutely correct. And, you know, again, I think the Odell Beckham thing's getting out of hand. You know, proposing to the kicking net. I mean, come on. This is the National freaking Football League. We're professionals here. He's acting like a kid on the playground in third grade. Grow up already, would you please? Grow up already. I don't get these divas. I just don't understand it.
Did she say yes? She had on quite a bit of lace, I would say.
I did not hear what the response was. I'll try to find that out. You think he would ask for a prenup or not?
I would. You know, she's netting quite a bit of stuff there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, exactly. So I would have to. I'm gonna try to find out from my source with the New York Giants if he's gonna ask for a prenup. It's just sad. It's awful. Absolutely awful.
I mean, especially from the standpoint that we are talking about an ultra talented. I mean, he caught that ball, man, and it came across the middle, and his hip was hurting, Grant, or his abs oblique, something.
So he said.
And he still outran everyone. I mean, and man, an exquisitely talented player, but he's got to get the emotions together.
You know, again, I'm not in his body. His hip didn't look like it was bothering me on his two touchdown runs. I mean, he outran the entire defense, okay?
Well, listen, Grant, if you had the entire defense chasing you, you might run like your hip's not hurting.
I might, but I'll tell you one thing I wouldn't do. I wouldn't do a triple jump in the end zone, okay, in the third quarter after my first touchdown when I was in the locker room at the end of the second quarter and at halftime. If my hips really bother me, I'm probably not going to score a touchdown and then do a mock triple jump in the end zone. I'm probably not going to do that. That tells me the guy's full of it, tells me that his hip wasn't bothering him at all. That's a bunch of garbage.
Hey, he looked like he went about 54 feet, 6.5 inches. Yeah, that was
all right. Now, let me ask you, I'm going to put you a professional athlete. If you had an injury to your body, would you do something such as he did? I mean, that's stupidity, is it not, Doug?
Okay, well, I'll say this. So, Carl Malone rips the webbing of my hand, and I'm not going to do a damn handstand, that's for sure, Grant.
No, you're not. And if Carl ripped the webbing in your hand, I guarantee it didn't heal anytime soon. That's for darn sure.
No, man. Stitches and everything.
Man. Oh, my gosh. Wow. The mailman, the best. And you want to talk about a guy that lined up and played every single day, practice game? Boy, he was something. All right.
Oh.
He was the best. Hey, I can't believe we're already 1 hour in. We're going to get you to Monday Night Football, 4:45. We got the Jets at Arizona. So we'll come back. More to come right here. This is the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie. Glad that you're with us. We're going to talk with Steve Weiss from the NFL Network. That's coming up right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.